It's the Time Spent Poorly show with Derek and Eduardo. Each week they meet to discuss a variety of pop culture topics and your mom. Learn more about your hosts and their tried and true use of mom jokes that aren't played out at all at tspn.fun. Because your time's no fun unless you're spending it poorly. Come spend yours with us. Tonight's guest is old Huds himself.
We look like anti-corona Mortal Kombat ninjas right now.
We do. Did you know they're doing it?
I can't breathe. Did you know they're doing a new Mortal Kombat movie?
It's about time.
I agree.
Have you played 11 yet? It's fantastic.
No, but I played 10 and it was amazing.
Yeah, they found a way to, well, I
make it even better.
Did you say movie or game?
They're making a new movie.
No.
Remember that movie is, the original one is
from like the 90s, right?
Yeah, and it was good when we watched it when we were kids, and now it's not good because it didn't age well, but it's still
like, if you're 12, good, it's kicks
good,
ass.
But it's still good in a bad way, too.
Well, it was kind of like the Street Fighter movie, too. It sucked then.
Yeah.
But there was some special effect elements that made it kind of cool.
Mortal Kombat was highly regarded, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely a top 10 soundtrack of all time.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's so much that? Good
dun,
on
dun, 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 dun. Was dun, that every... Dun, dun, every dun, 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 was that for dun, Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah, there you go. I just...
We can do the whole thing right here.
I want to get some glow sticks, turn off the lights, and just get gnarly.
Oh, my God.
Gnarly.
Let's drop some E. So
I missed that by just a few years.
The movie... is not. I've watched Mortal Kombat within the last few years, and it's fun. It's a fun movie. I've also watched Street Fighter within the last few years, and it's bad. But God damn it, Major Bison is so good in that movie.
Raul Julia is without.
You know, he did that movie as a gift to his kids.
Yeah.
Before he died, because he knew he was dying.
He was doing that movie,
and so he left that as a gift to his kids. That's why he did it.
Yeah. Somebody brought that up on Reddit today.
Really?
Today.
That's weird.
Wow. Isn't that weird?
And every role that he's been in, he gave 100% to. So he gave 100% to fucking Major Bison, bro.
I don't know, dude. I think he gave 115 on that
one. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Awesome. He went all... That's a good... That's a bad movie.
For you, the day Bison came to your village was the most important day of your life.
You know
for
what would have happened had
it was
he
a Tuesday.
Died in the 2000s?
Boom!
He would have won an Oscar for that.
Oh,
or been nominated. Because every fucking guy now gets a posthumous look.
Not if it's cancer.
Well, that's true.
It has to be some sort of substance abuse disorder.
Or car wreck.
We could do...
Walker. He didn't get an Oscar, though, did he?
No.
You could do a top five
But they're still putting him in movies.
Yeah. You could do a top five for untimely deaths. Like gone too soon. I think he'd be one.
Yeah.
Raul Julia?
A
five?
I think he had a fine career.
Yeah, but he could have done a little bit more. I mean,
he's a fantastic Gomez Adams.
Yeah. He could have done some more, I think.
What else
could you imagine what he could kind of stuff he could have done as an old man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and everybody still talks about Heath Ledger, but I still think his Joker's better than Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
I didn't see that one yet.
I didn't like it.
Joaquin Phoenix's?
It's fine.
But it's not.
You know what the problem was? I'll say it right away. It was overhyped for me. So I had way too many people telling me how amazing it was, and then when I finally watched it, it's like, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have let you hype it.
We were talking
it's
about
almost
something
boring.
Similar.
It is boring.
Yeah. After a show not too long ago about how some things aren't as good as when your friends tell you about them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, every South Park episode was better when my little brother described it. Every one of them. Or, do you remember Tales from the Crypt Demon Night?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had a kid. I went to a summer camp up on Lake Coeur d'Alene one summer. And this kid, we're all laying there after lights out, and he's telling this story about that particular movie. And I was like, God, that sounds scary and awesome and fun And then I watched it, and it was like, meh.
Nah, that happens.
It wasn't bad.
I think we talked about my friend Mick. We all described to him Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And then he finally watched it, and he's like, you guys described it better.
Yeah, that's definitely one that is better in memory and description than it is actually sitting down and watching.
Yeah, because it's because the ending is such a bummer. You're like, yeah. Oh, God damn it.
What is going on
here? But
I don't
yeah,
think they
so,
knew what to do for no. an ending, yeah, and I so mean, they it. Just let it fall apart.
So the Joker, though, was it was a little boring, and I don't think the Joaquin Phoenix is not good. Like, it's good.
Yeah. But it's not anything remarkable.
I'm going to say I did not like the laughing disorder he had. I thought it looked so forced for him to laugh like that in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Like, he has a disorder. It's like, meh. No.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but
also he's like definitely on the spectrum in the movie, and I just don't want to imagine Batman beating the shit out of an autistic guy.
Exactly. Like, oh man, can't you just handcuff him?
Yeah.
Can you?
They had a new picture of Batman. He has this cool collar looking thing. Oh, he kind of reminds me of like Gotham by Gaslight.
God, that was a good comic.
The design for the costume kind of looks like that, right, a little bit. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much down for whatever.
Yeah, me too.
For this one.
What's another movie that was overhyped? I mean, besides like, I mean, I would say the most overhyped movie of all time was probably Avatar.
Yeah.
And I hated that movie.
Yeah, I wonder if, I've always kind of wondered because the sequels are like, a day late and
oh yeah
coming and because
like
yeah I mean they were like we're gonna have three more movies and then but I mean
he's well Jesus is that dude is that sorry
ever
is that fucking dude is the main guy in the first one gonna be in he's not even a
Sam you Worthington
missed, you
he's
missed,
like dropped off the radar in you, Hollywood like
sorry
he's made a couple of direct to Netflix movies.
Sorry James Cameron, you fucking missed your window there, bud.
Yeah.
I mean if those movies would have come out like year after year, maybe Sam
like every 2 years, like
if they did the Star Wars pattern like every yeah. 2 years and then something else in between.
You got to wonder if Sam Worthington's like you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, I mean he's had an okay career. But it's yeah. dried up.
I'm
I mean,
sure
he's
made
Netflix,
enough money to get
he's
by.
He's got that Netflix Manhunt show that's okay, or whatever.
Oh
it's
yeah,
called.
Okay.
But
still, he.
But he was like riding high wave there.
Well, yeah, because remember, so he did that, Salvation. And then he did Terminator Salvation, and that was a kind of an egg.
Man on the Ledge or something. Like, but all the, and they weren't great movies.
But the ones
were.
That bombed him though were those Clash of the Titans. And
yeah.
You God, they're bad.
You can't top the old one.
No.
Burgess Meredith is the old dude in the Colosseum.
I mean, the Kraken was cool, but it's like 1 second in the movie.
Yeah.
And Medusa was cool.
I've never stayed awake long enough to see the Kraken. I had to look it up on YouTube when my son was talking about Krakens.
There's something to be said about like stop motion animation. It's almost creepier than... Because it feels...
It like looks Army so of, alien.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't look right. With the way that
it's like the ring girl when she's dude. Climbing out
oh,
of the
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
that kind of thing.
I really like the Deadites,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Army of Darkness.
That movie is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
What ending do you prefer?
I enjoyed the theatrical one. I thought it was cool, but the idea of the other one was so much better and left it open to a better sequel than, and I like Ash vs. Evil Dead. I think that's a fun show.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but
so
whatever.
I like both. I like that. I love the idea of him drinking too many drops and pulling an ash, like not listening to the instructions and drinking too many drops and ending up in the apocalyptic future.
Yeah.
I overslept or, you know, it's
I think
it's
that's
funny.
Exactly what he says too. It's perfect.
It's super and fun. It's
and
yeah.
It sets up a better sequel.
Yeah. It's super him
mm-hmm.
too. But I do love the ending.
That final scene is so good.
Yeah.
When
so it's, I could go either way. Like,
did you say the words right? Maybe I said them right.
Yeah.
And then he...
It's, I mean, both are good. I love that movie anyways. And I actually liked the show. Did you watch the show, Ward? Did you watch the...
You know, I've watched a few episodes of it. It is kind of like...
It's funny.
Yeah, it's got some funny stuff. I haven't like gone back and tried to watch the whole series through.
It's worth a look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good. They made Ash, though, he's so much more... He's a creeper. Like, yeah.
He never grew up.
He did not.
And he maybe even regressed a little bit. Like, there was... I don't know. The first Evil Dead
he's doing
was not...
Like, kind
they
of a hybrid of his character
funny.
From Burn Notice a little bit. And
yeah.
Yeah.
A little more
I really liked that.
Burn Notice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of their best bits of work on USA.
Yeah, well, it's not Hank Med, so...
Is that Royal Pains?
Is that what the show is called? Fuck, I couldn't remember the show.
The one with the guy from Road Trip.
Yeah, I kept saying Hank Med on the last show.
I know. I was like, what are you talking about? And then you're like, USA. I'm
you know, like,
okay.
I couldn't remember what the goddamn name of the show. I just remembered the thing in the show.
Yeah.
It was on this one. It was on over like one summer.
Yeah.
It has a few seasons.
It's got multiple seasons. It's popular. It's like
it's popular to people who watch USA,
right? But I didn't watch Suits either.
But they had Suits and White Collar as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I watched White Collar. White Collar is okay.
Which between Suits and White Collar, which one is the one that has the guy who lies his way through? Like
that's White Collar, I think.
That's Matt Bomer.
Is that White Collar?
I think that's Suits. White Collar.
Well, White Collar is like this guy that's like a art thief guy that gets roped in by the FBI and used as like a
Suits then.
I think they're brutally interchangeable.
They wear suits in White Collar.
Yeah.
Well, but the reason why I ask is because that guy, the Matt Bomer, he left when Meghan Markle.
Oh yeah, no, that's suit. You're thinking suits is Markle's Suits.
Yeah, okay. So in the show, the premise for Suits is that he's this guy's brother who's a lawyer. And then he lies his way. He doesn't go to law school, but he takes like the bar exam and makes it or whatever, something like that. He's like super genius. And then when
like
Meghan Markle leaves the show,
gig.
He left too. And so it's like, okay, the show's going to end, right? Nope. Kept it going.
They
like
just kept
more
going
seasons, yeah.
Without the main
story.
Wow. Oops. Well,
I didn't watch it. I just saw the previews for it, and I was like, isn't the dude gone? Like, she's a princess. Like what's going on here? Not anymore. Well, we know they are, but...
Yeah. Didn't they move to Canada?
I think so.
Or wasn't that the plan?
I'm talking about
Harry and Meghan.
I had no idea that girl was on a USA show.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right on. Good for her.
They don't want to do their duties, though. So they're not going to be the Duke and Duchess or whatever anymore.
I'm going to do that
Lord
bullshit.
And lady
well, because it's fucking 2020. And there's such a thing as fucking evolution.
But there's no job. I mean, you're just rich for rich sake.
Yeah.
I would do that. I'll go be... You want me to be the Duke of whatever fucking place?
The Earl of Sandwich? I'll do it.
I'll do it.
I got it.
I don't
no
give
problem.
A shit.
Nope.
They're not doing anything.
Nope. You give me a castle, I'm on it.
They're just a face.
What's that movie where Amanda Bynes finds out she's a princess or some shit like that?
King Ralph?
No. Was it like What a Girl Wants or something like that?
I was going to say another joke, but I do think you hit it. I think that is it. I was going to say the one with Anne Hathaway. Princess Diaries. Oh.
No, King Ralph's the only
better.
One I saw that was...
Yours is better.
It was that way.
She has,
and that was great.
Anne Hathaway is not aging well. Have you seen that new trailer for her on that new Netflix movie?
I think it's all the
Ben
weight
Affleck
she lost for Les Miserables.
Yeah.
I think that's what did her in. Because when Christian Bale lost all his weight for The Machinist, he never looked quite the same after either. That takes a fucking toll on you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. De Niro did a lot of that up, down, up, down, up, down for different roles. And it's It's hard on your body.
Eventually you age into, like, if you don't, if you stop doing that up, down shit. But, like, I think the last time De Niro did a real big change was that Cape Fear.
Bull. Was it Cape Fear?
Oh, yeah.
He was ripped in Cape Fear.
Yeah, but Raging Bull was when he did the big shift right. really fast.
Right.
Like, he put on 120 pounds or something at the end of
in,
it.
For the new Joker one, that was when we watched the behind the scenes or whatever, and Joaquin Phoenix lost, like, 50 pounds or something to do the role, and they're like, yeah, he lost 50 pounds to do the role. And I looked at Brie and I was like,
why
is Joker supposed to be super skin, like,
gaunt looking?
What storyline is
there?
It's not as though Joaquin Phoenix was heavy.
No, if at Joaquin Phoenix's normal weight, he would have been fine in that right. role. I don't,
you lose 50 pounds to do the role, he just looks unhealthy and, like, kind of lanky, and
it was just kind of weird. Yeah. It was like, what is the Joker, a starving character? Like, I don't get it.
It seems like they could have accomplished it with a little bit of makeup and proper lighting mm-hmm. instead of putting that level of stress on your body for
a movie.
I mean, like, he got an Oscar, so I guess it's great.
Did he win Best Actor?
Didn't he?
I think he did win.
I
he at least got a Golden
two.
Globe or something,
but. And I know he doesn't care about, or he claims not to care about. It's weird thinking about some of those people, like, oh, I don't care about the awards.
I don't think
he
does care about it, though, because he did that mockumentary about himself, and he didn't win anything for that. He just wanted to do it.
Mm. He's a weird dude, though.
Yeah.
Every time I've seen him in an interview, it's just been like, do you even know where you are?
It's because he grew up in a cult.
I think it's hard for us as, like, I don't
know,
non-actors, because you watch somebody, you watch, like, a movie, you get to see the movie, you get to see the end product,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, why would anybody waste their time? Like, if it's a shitty movie, you're kind of wondering, why would anybody waste their time doing that? But, you like you said with that GQ, this was like a pre-show talk that we were doing mm-hmm. last week, but with the GQ interviews, is like, they actually genuinely...
So many of them love
like what they're doing,
they
and
just
they're,
love
and they're
to
like
do
impassioned
it.
About the project that they're doing,
right? And then you've got the ones that are like Christopher Walken and Samuel L. Jackson, are like, I need to make as much money as possible while I'm still bankable, and so I'll be in anything,
yeah.
And they both got like dozens of movies that never got a release because whatever funding.
How old
through.
Is Samuel Jackson?
He's got, I think he's like 70,
he's 70 something.
We just watched Skull Island,
is that the Kong?
Yeah,
it's good.
Was it good?
It is good.
It is. It's a good movie.
And he is playing like this army general. I don't know. He's. I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be playing somebody in his 40s.
Did he get eaten by a shark in that one?
No,
he that would have been awesome.
He gets smushed, I think.
Okay, as long as he goes in a.
He's 71.
He doesn't look 71.
He no. He's 10 years younger than my grandpa.
By the way, Kong Skull Island is good. The only scene I didn't like in the movie is how John Goodman gets killed. Because I was like, what the fuck? I would have liked to know more about his character.
Yeah, they kind of like...
It's very unceremonious, like how he gets...
They kind of do this whole like side... Almost,
yeah.
They start building this backstory for him and then they kill him off.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be... And you know it's connected to Godzilla, right?
I heard that, yeah.
So,
they're going to do a crossover in the next one or something.
So, I don't know if you saw the first Godzilla... The
1947.
No, in 2014
of the one
of the
with Bryan Cranston in it for 15 seconds.
Yeah. So in that movie, like the underground government agency is called Monarch, and in the Kong Skull Island, John Goodman, he's heavily involved in like the early. Because it takes place in the 70s.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like early Monarch. And you're like, oh, okay, that's the connection there, I guess. Although we had to Google it because I couldn't fucking remember the first Godzilla.
Right.
Very much. Like it was not very memorable. So then we watched the new Godzilla. So then we actually did this last weekend. We're like, oh, the new Godzilla's out. We should watch it. And then we're like, well, wait a minute. We should watch Kong Skull Island because they're going to connect those movies. Which I'm glad we did do that because they're very... intertwined, like,
oh really,
Monarch is back in the new Godzilla and then the
kaiju verse.
Yeah, no, there is a whole like kaiju verse. Yeah, there's a whole thing like in Godzilla, right? Like it's he's king of the monsters or whatever, but it's like a ton of monsters come out, but then they talk about Skull Island a bunch.
Wow,
Like it's a, like they're like one of our one of the monsters is detained on Skull Island, and I like look to Bree and I'm like, so he's detained because he's on an island. Like they didn't detain him there. It's just he's just a fucking giant. To be there. He's a big gorilla, and that's his home. So he just hasn't found any reason to swim away from because he's a gorilla still. Like he can't he can swim, but why but he's not gonna go fucking trudging across the. Ocean
not
to
not
get.
In the kaiju verse.
No,
there could be a fucking giant shark down there.
Skull Island,
as big a monkey as he is, it's not gonna have shit to do with a or an octopus.
Yeah,
a colossal. So
Skull Island's a solid movie.
No, it's great.
What's the guy that plays? What's the guy's name that plays Loki?
Tom
Hiddleston.
Hiddleston.
He's in it.
Loki
does a good turn.
John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly is the shining moment of the movie.
I love the he's the so scene with, where the, like the ants are walking. The giant ants. He goes, those are giant ants. They sound like birds, but they're fucking ants. Or something like
that. Also, he's like, well, we're going to get out of here. He's like, yeah, you're going to die out here. You shouldn't be here.
You shouldn't be here.
He's like great in the movie, though. Actually, honestly, overall, Skull Island, I actually really enjoyed it.
I've watched it multiple
times.
It was fun. It's a rewatchable movie.
Is it on anything right now?
I watched it on YouTube TV. They had it on TV, so I was able to record it and then watch it.
It was on HBO for a while, but I don't know if it is anymore. Probably not.
What age range would you say that's okay for?
Oh, how old's your kid?
11.
You can watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what your filter is for.
I don't know. We were playing Mortal Kombat yesterday.
So you can watch that movie. You can watch Kong.
Have you played more? Oh, I was just I just asked you that. There's one point where. Like Scorpion pulls this cyborg ninja's spine out and then kills three more of them using the head like a nunchuck. It's fucking awesome.
That's all, man. It's amazing.
I love it. It's so, such a cool universe.
Did you watch the new Godzilla then? Did you see that one?
The one with Millie Bobby Brown?
Yeah.
No, I haven't watched it yet. It's on HBO, but
it's not as good as Skull Island. It's hard to also like the whole Godzilla movie, you're rooting for Godzilla, like because he's fighting Ghidorah, he's fighting Ghidorah's in it.
King Ghidorah is the three headed one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And they gave that Rodan a little more of a backstory, which is cool. Mothra's in it. Mothra's actually great in it. Short lived, but great in the movie.
Yeah.
Just cool. I mean, they made her look beautiful. Like it's a cool. Thing with Mothra, so but the problem is, you know, the humans are so much more in the movie. It's like got Transformer syndrome, that's where it's like, bad. Well,
I came to see giant monsters.
Yeah, I want to see Godzilla, man. Sorry, dude. Yeah, but anyway, the movie's it's fine, but the problem is if we're gonna do this crossover, like literally, I always just the end credits. Show like this cave painting. So in Kong Skull Island, you find out the people on Skull Island that are there, they worship Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Godzilla, you find like,
as is tradition.
Yeah, you find like Atlantis, like that's where Kong or Godzilla lives, like this underground city. And then you see like these paintings on the wall, and it's like paintings of people worshiping Godzilla. So they're saying like, oh, like we've lived in like harmony with some of these monsters before, like worshiping them. So the end of the movie shows like these cave paintings of like Kong versus Godzilla. But am I supposed to root against Kong or root against Godzilla? Like if they're both the good guy,
they're not even in the same fucking league though. Like Godzilla spits radioactive fire, and in some cases he can fly by farting. I don't know.
And they made
like,
Kong
got all these
bigger
weird things.
Like Skull Island made him bigger. He still didn't seem like he'd be big enough. Do you think?
I just don't see him.
I still didn't think he looked
fucking. The dinosaur man.
No, and you see several scenes in Skull Island where Kong, like, he grabs a helicopter and the helicopter's blades cut his fucking hands. Kong gets, like, torn up. He gets, like, you don't see Godzilla bleed for even 1 second in the movie. Like, are we supposed to think this is going to be a fair match?
Yeah, even in the old ones. Like, we watched Godzilla 2000 not too long ago. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah, with Matthew Broderick?
No. The Japanese Godzilla 2000.
Oh, the one that's after the other one.
Yeah, and it's just absurd. Like,
yeah,
there's
I have seen that.
Something underwater when it's low enough that it doesn't get sunlight, but once they get light on it, it recharges, and he has to fight it in the end. And then there's these people who are Godzilla chasers that are basically like the people from Twister, only with Godzilla. And this girl really wants to get pictures of Godzilla, but the radiation he gives off melts the film in her camera. I mean, it's old enough that she's still using a film camera.
Yeah.
And, but it's absurd and it's fun and it's like exactly what you're looking for in that kind of movie.
And it was a good, it was a nice, refreshing breath because it's like the old style.
Right.
But it's more refreshing than that shitty Godzilla 2000 movie. Or which is 1999.
99, I think that was. But
Zilla is, by the way, what they call that.
Is that what they call it now?
That's in the fan base, like the Godzilla fan base calls him Zilla.
Because they were using the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah. Well, because it's not Godzilla.
He's definitely not a god.
Well, the one from the Matthew Broderick one is not Godzilla.
Have you seen the cartoons on Netflix? That Godzilla is like the size of Everest. He's just huge.
Yeah.
And like nobody can go on Earth because, you know, Godzilla is this bad motherfucker.
That's
and
right.
They're going back. And I just don't see a giant monkey doing any damage to that.
I told Bree I thought a cooler one would be to have Godzilla still be bad. Because in this movie, he's kind of aligned. He fights for them. He saves them from Ghidorah,
mm-hmm.
You know. I would have thought, okay, let's keep him bad. They build Mecha Godzilla
to fight him
and loses, obviously.
I'd be all right with that.
That'd be fun.
Mecha Godzilla was awesome with the missiles for fingers and shit.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, Japan.
And Mecha Godzilla, you remember, he's in that shitty Ready Player One.
He is.
He's actually one of the better parts of Ready Player One.
I didn't hate that.
I wouldn't
be like, oh, let's watch Ready Player One. But
I would have liked it more if they would have focused less on the main people in the movie.
Most of the time, that seems to be the case.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. Well, all of the Netflix shows. The Netflix Marvel shows. Because I've got like 7 episodes of Jessica Jones left and I'm done with all of them. Because I never finished anything. And I don't know, a couple of those look like they were going places. Luke Cage could have used another season. And the end of Iron Fist season 2 was awesome.
Yeah, which is good because Iron Fist season 1's not great.
No, the whole time he's just like, I'm Danny Rand, I'm the immortal Iron Fist. And he doesn't seem to understand that nobody gets that or gives a shit. And watching it a second time, I was kind of like, well, maybe that's the point. Like, okay, this kid has been locked up in the sacred magic city, Shangri-La, Kunlun, whatever, for the better part of his life. 15 years he's been stuck doing this, and he fought his way to become the most important person there, right? And so not only was he a billionaire over here, but over there, he's the most important person ever. And
still a billionaire.
Yeah. And so he comes back, and he's just like, well, I'm Danny Rand. And everybody's like, so?
And?
Like, nobody's heard that name in 15 years.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm the immortal Iron Fist. Nobody's ever heard of that. You're from a fucking hidden magic city. And so looking at it from that point of view, even the first season is not that bad. Like, I think he's supposed to be a douchebag.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's some of the better kung fu fighting I've seen in a show, too, which is cool. It's still, but I don't know, you watch Daredevil fight and you're like, that seems so much more effective. And the only reason that your kung fu is working is because you're fighting ninjas. Yeah. If you weren't fighting an immortal ninja clan, you'd get your ass handed to you.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Yeah, it's the main character. I really wanted Godzilla to be really good.
Yeah.
The first one and this new one.
I don't think Godzilla has ever been good. I love Godzilla.
Yeah.
Everything about it. The mythos, the whole, all of it. But it's not good.
No.
But that's part of the reason that endears it to you. That man in the rubber suit is dropkicking that man in the turtle suit.
I honestly just think the problems with the new ones is just he's not in it enough.
Yeah, like the Transformers.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be 2.5 hours long.
So I guess with that new Sonic movie, he's in the entire movie. So it's not like a movie where, like, even like the first of the the first of the newest Ninja Turtles is all around like April O'Neil, and they're not in it enough.
It's a mistake.
And then like Transformers is all around the humans, and the new Sonic starts off with Sonic narrating the movie. So he's.
Did you see Detective Pikachu?
I haven't yet. I heard it's good though.
But I hear that's the same way. Like,
yeah,
it's the whole way through. It's a Pikachu centric movie, and I'm not totally into Pokemon in any way. But like the idea that they're taking the character that people care about and putting it at the center, that's important.
Yeah,
and plus it's Ryan Reynolds, so
I think Sonic might have. Other than Detective Pikachu, I think Sonic might have the highest rating on like Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's at 64%.
Yeah,
and then, which is pretty amazing for
the audience one was like at 94.
Yeah,
which is good. The only one I've seen that's even been close to parody was between critics and the audience is Parasite. Have you seen? Did you go see that?
I have not.
It's a Korean movie. I have no idea what it's about. I've never even seen a trailer for it, but it's 98% with critics and 96% with the audience.
God damn.
So
it's subtitled, and that's the biggest, like there's no dubbing or anything like that.
Yeah.
I can survive.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, but not for theaters.
Not well.
Sometimes, I don't know. I have the subtitles on at home all the time.
So do I.
But are you only watching the subtitles? Are you reading the screen as you watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watch. Yeah. See, I watch literally every show with subtitles.
Yeah.
You're one of those too?
Mm-hmm.
There are more of us in numbers.
I can barely hear out of my left ear.
I don't have great hearing either, and neither does my wife. And I remember like a year before I started dating Katie, somebody came over to my apartment and was watching a movie with me, and I had the subtitles on. They're like, I don't know how you watch movies this way. And honestly,
I don't know how you do it without.
At first I was like, what way?
Yeah.
With the subtitles on, I'm like, oh, I honestly don't even notice it.
Yeah, it probably.
I mean, I know it's on. I read them.
I think. I was watching One Punch Man, and that didn't have a dub. And so I wanted to watch it because those are my favorite characters. Those like completely invincible things like Superman or whatever. Like
One Punch Man is brilliant too.
It is. It
there is a dubbed version.
I know.
It's on
the Adult Crunchyroll or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But
I record them on YouTube TV. So I've been watching them with the subtitles. The voice acting is great.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is good.
Every once in a while, it's really shitty, but like, Sword Art Online was really well done with the American voices.
One Punch Man's voice acting is good.
Okay.
Because that sometimes can break it for me, too.
Yeah.
But it is good. And it's hilarious. The show is hilarious.
It is. I love that he's just... Well, like the second episode when he's got that mosquito buzzing around and he can't swat it.
Yeah.
And it's kicking his ass. And he's the fastest and strongest hero that's ever been. But he can't deal with this mosquito.
Yeah.
And then he goes and deals with this mosquito monster woman.
Right.
And you're just like, you swatted her.
Well, I don't know what episode it's, maybe the third or fourth, maybe even fifth in. It's the first season, but he gets this clone, this doctor who's like a clone. There's a million clones, and they're trying to ask him what modifications do you have or whatever, and he gives them his workout plan, and he's like, finally, oh fine, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is it? Like, what did you do to get so strong? And he's like, I did 100 sit-ups and 100 push-ups every day.
100 squats.
100
and a 10-kilometer run.
Every day. Like, and they're like, and I love the one that's, I can't remember, it's like this like sidekick.
Yeah, with
like
Genos, the cyborg. Genos,
yeah, who's a badass.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's like, but that's not even that great of a, that's not even that much of an accomplishment for a normal person.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, but that's seriously what I did.
Yeah, there's a guy that, on YouTube, that did that exercise for a year. And he's like, I'm in great shape, but I'm not punching down buildings.
No.
Like,
I love the idea of that, though. He's like, I trained so much, my hair all fell out. Yeah, like, that's, I
trained until my hair fell out.
I think I love that first episode because it shows, like, it's obviously, it's a spoof of, like, Dragon Ball Z.
All of them. The level of escalation that they're always... The backstories.
Like, all the bad guys have, like, these backstories, and then he just fucking punches them. on the first episode, that big one that kills his little brother
by accident.
They give this huge backstory about what he is, and then he's just like, get that one on your shoulder! And he's just like, kills him.
I'm like the John Goodman of that.
I fucking hate great. Dragon Ball Z. It's so stupid. Like, they'll spend
trembling and sweating.
Yeah,
it's just the whole show.
Six episodes. The kids when I worked at the Boys and Girls Club would turn it on. They'd rush in off the bus from school to turn on and catch the last 5 minutes. I'm like, you're not going to miss anything. He's been charging that attack for 3 days.
You're not lying.
And Thursday he blows up the planet.
Uh-huh.
Yay.
I want to circle back to your Boys and Girls Club thing real quick. Were you a Boys and Girls Club kid? Did you grow up in the Boys and Girls Club?
I went for a while when it was still down in Fenton Park, where the children's home is now.
Yeah,
we went then. And my grandpa is the very first member of the town's club.
Oh.
He still has his membership card from when he was six.
So oh, my wow. son's, first, my son's dad going, or both my kids
his,
go.
His grandpa built that building, and his dad was one of the three that started it here in town.
Oh.
So he got to be first.
Did you find yourself employed there because you were a member of the club, or just you were looking for employment?
I moved back from Massachusetts and needed to do something, and it was open. And
see, because I wonder about, like, my son's, my older son, he has, like, he's got some, like, this, like, dormant leadership skill.
Mm-hmm.
You've met Wyatt. Yeah. But he's got, so... He's been going to the club for a handful of years now, and, like, for the longest time, he pushed back against, like, the staff there.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, now he's kind of, like, aligning with their thought process and, like, getting along with them. And, like,
God, I did that.
Did you?
Yeah, I was a... Yeah, absolutely. It just clicks. One day it just clicks.
Yeah.
Even in college, I did the Talking River, the journal, and I was so annoying in there. As a 24-year-old freshman, the kids, and I was still, like, obnoxious. But by the time it was, like, senior year, and, like, we'd get, like, some freshmen in there, I'd be like, instructor would be trying to, like, talk, and someone's, like, talking over, and I'd be like, hey, get with it. I don't have all day, you know. But I was doing that.
I have to take time out of my day to come in here.
Yeah.
So stop.
No, Wyatt's got a personality like that.
That's
where
funny.
He's just kind of like, he puts his foot with his peers.
I think it's you start to realize other.
Yeah.
Even though you were doing the same thing.
Right.
But your time becomes you.
And I worked with the kindergarten program primarily. And then in the afternoons it was more. But during the day it was all. And you would get those kids that would. They were like born to be club kids. Like sure. They buy in immediately. And then there's the loners and the ones that are just always against any sort of authority. And you just wish you could drown those ones. Like, you know, like when you catch a stray cat and you have to put the box in the water. You make the traps. And
I don't know where you're
underwater.
Going with it.
But you just want to do that with the
I would never do that to a cat. If a kid, I might. Not a cat.
But yeah, they're always those kids. But the ones that bought in, you know, like their parents would buy them t-shirts.
Yeah.
And they would wear their t-shirts to the club and they'd be like, I'm a junior staff. No, you're not. You're not. You don't have any authority. Stop telling the other kids that you have authority.
Yeah.
And like maybe you can work up a group and you guys can have your thing. But I don't know. There was always a few kids that you were just like, you're too invested in this.
I quit going to the club in... sixth grade, because I was playing outside and one of the kids who was a year older than me punched me in the jaw for no reason. And they did that thing where they call you both in and they make you apologize to each other. And I was like, I have no reason to be apologetic. Yeah, I got punched in the fucking face.
I wasn't even near the kid. Yeah. Didn't say anything.
He walked up to me and punched me in the face, and they did this thing. Well, and then of course he's just like, "Well, he was doing this," and like I'm like, "I was, I most certainly was not." And they were like, "You need to apologize to him too, and or you're gonna call your mom." And I remember distinctly as sixth grade being like, "Call my fucking mom.
Call her.
Call her." And then they're like, "Watch your language. You cuss. You're not. You're gonna have to. You're not gonna be able to come to the club anymore." And I was like, "Fuck you! I'm not coming to the club anymore." Because you're in sixth grade, you'll cuss all the time. So I was like, "Fuck you!" So I walked home and left my sister there. And my mom was more mad that I walked home from the all the way from the club and left my sister there.
Yeah.
And there's no cell phones, so I didn't call my mom to tell her I went home.
Were you at the club up here or the one?
The Orchards.
Okay.
So my mom went and picked my sister up from the club. And she, you know, my sister's like, "Derek went home." I'd been at home for hours by myself. But she got home and she was like, just livid, you know, that. And then I told her what happened. And then, you know, she got over it.
Yeah, it was.
But I never went back, though.
20 years ago that I worked there. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. And you think about that, like, I was 19, 20, 21, the two years that I worked there, because I started in August and I left the following August, and or I left
like two Augusts
later. And you think about that, like the age of the staff is really not that different.
No,
they're like 8 years older than the sixth graders, and the teens who are generally off in the teen center and doing their own thing. But like they probably went to high school with some of the people that were working there.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, there's definitely not a huge age gap. And so
they're really good with the training. Like there's before the school year starts, there's a break there and there's some staff training. I don't know if they still do that, but you know, we had a significant amount of training, but you're still 19, 20. Yeah. You're not really
that much more responsible than a lot of the teens that are even going there, really.
No. And most of you are like either at the age or just on the cusp of the age where you can legally drink. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, you're into that whole like, "Oh, I'm 21, I can go to the bars." Uh-huh. And then you start running into club parents at the bars. And it's weird.
Yeah, I bet.
But still, I'm not that much older than the kids that I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. I had the kindergarten kids, so it was...
You know,
I was light years more responsible than they were because they're five and 6 years old and you're goddamn useless at that age almost.
Yeah.
Like you barely know which end of the club smells worse. Like,
I remember, so it's funny. I have a similar dynamic where when I first started at my current job and I would see like students at bars, you know, and I'm not like really any type of authority over, or I wasn't at the time. So I'd see them at bars and just be like, "Oh, hey, hey, what's up?" And I, you know, that's when I'm like, "Oh, I'm way too old for this bar."
You're obviously not in the English department.
Yeah. "Oh, hey, I'm way too old for this bar." Like, you know, I'm just like, I remember the first thing. Was like,
I don't need to be going to this one anymore.
Like, "Oh yeah, right. You guys are all freshly 21. That's great. I'll be going down to the zoo or whatever."
Going down to the old folks bar.
Yeah, I'll be headed down to the Elks.
But when I was at, I was probably still a business major, but I was taking a lot of English classes. And we'd do open mic nights at Hogan's. And half of the people that went were from the English department. They were teachers and shit. And they, you know, you'd bum cigarettes off them. They'd buy drinks for you. And you'd banter. And it was just different.
Yeah,
like, you'd never see any of the business department teachers out at the bar. You just wouldn't.
Yeah. That bar's unique, though, in that aspect.
It's a weird place.
Yeah.
It's definitely different. I don't know if it still is. That, again, that was
it's still a different, almost 20 different, years ago. Demographic there, but it's a lot. It's changing in there a lot though, just because the new ownership.
Yeah,
good owner.
It's always been a great place to go.
It's changing for the better. I mean, he made it. You know, have you been to Hogan's?
Yeah, well, we did episode.
That's right. There. You remember how they used to have the, so there was the booths that are like on the lifted thing. And then at the bar, there's like this lifted thing. It's like a valley almost.
Yeah, yeah.
They took all that out.
It probably increased the room.
Well, yeah, you couldn't stand in there.
Oh, you remember how Barley Hoppers used to be? When it had that sunken dance floor?
Oh, yeah.
They covered that over, and yeah. It just seems like there's so much more room
in
there.
It does, yeah.
And that was where I hosted comedy. And one of the guys I worked at the jail with, when it was still Bumpers, he bounced there after he got out of college. And he was like, it was run by some... He said the guy had this weird German accent, and he was always like, "Break them, Mike, break them."
Did you host comedy there?
Mm-hmm.
Like MC'd?
Yeah. Nice. For like a year.
Did you do jokes?
Yeah.
And stuff?
Yeah, I mostly just warmed up the crowd. I mean, the guy that ran the comedy circuit came in and was like, "Here's kind of what your job is as MC. You can do this. And if you throw out a couple of bad jokes to kind of throw some groaners out there, that's okay. But don't do material, because then,
yeah,
like that's not what you're doing." And so, you know, there'd be the whole, I would come walking up from the back and I would start clapping about halfway to the stage, and then people would just kind of start clapping because somebody was clapping, and the room would warm up, and then you'd go up there and you'd kind of give their little bio, and I would generally talk to them before the show, so I kind of had an idea of how they were, and so you could kind of tailor your entrance to that, and then, you know, they'd come out and do their thing, and that would be that, and then we would probably go down to the Alibi and sing karaoke most of the time. They're always like, what started doing this town? I'm like, fucking nothing. Yeah, we can go sing karaoke. And by God, we did. And one of them, like the end of his act was he dropped his pants and he had Star Spangled boxer shorts on. And then he would sing the national anthem at the end. And that was like his capper. And he did that in the Alibi. It was hilarious.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Those were the days, though. I had a lot of fun back then.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
They kind of outlined, so you weren't telling jokes. See, that's different for other places you go. Sometimes the MC's like working out their material.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of those. Do you remember when, it's Three Doors Down now, but it used to be called The Club?
Yeah, for a short time.
They tried to... Comedy night down there, and they were like, "Well, you host up at the Lion," and most of the guys that were bartending down there at the time had bartended at the Lion before that, and they were like, "Can you come down and do ours?" And then I went down to do it, and the guy who was in charge of it was like a whole separate circuit, and it was this guy, and he's like, "Oh, don't worry, I got it." And he went up there and he tried to do material, and he was terrible, and it was like, you're not doing your people any favors. So,
yeah,
but it was nice to see what works and what doesn't, because they really are two totally different jobs
there. Yeah. When we went up to, Uncle D's Comedy Underground up in Spokane,
it's a fantastic name.
Yeah. It's not there anymore.
Oh.
I think all they have now is Spokane Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. I think Uncle D's Comedy Underground went away. I don't know why. I don't know if the whole bar went away. It used to be right above, which is funny, Comedy Underground. It was right above Blues at the Bend, which was like a bar up there. I don't know if that went away too. Mm. I don't even know if the building exists, honestly. But we went up there for open mic night. It was on like Thursday nights. And so like Nathan, me, like Steven, I don't know, a couple other people, Harrison, would go up there and go do open mic night up there and just carpool up there.
Mm-hmm.
The MC they had up there was a guy that worked there, and I think he helped run the bar too. But one of the things I remember distinctly was when Nathan got up, he introduced him, because Nathan's last name is Betts. And the guy's like, "All bets are off," like some joke like that. And somehow that just completely fucking torpedoed his set. Like, it was just like, what a shitty way to introduce somebody. He's like, Nathan, he goes, "Nathan, up next, comedian from Lewiston, Nathan Betts." And he's like, "All bets are off." And then just Nathan got up there, just like,
it's weird how
hilarious. Like, Jesus, it was so, like, bizarre.
You say the right wrong thing, and it'll totally shoot somebody down.
Yeah,
and you never know what's going to turn an audience off. It's weird.
I used to.
That wasn't a good joke, but it wasn't like it shouldn't have torpedoed the thing. But no. if it's the right crowd, it's like you shot a tactical nuclear weapon into the middle of them, and they're all just skeletons. Sitting
when
out
we
there.
Did comedy down here, we would take turns. MCing
featuring and headlining.
Yeah, because none of us were any bigger than anybody else, so we would just take turns opening. I ended up really liking opening. I just think just my strength was more opening, and I liked MCing because you get up and you can do a teeny tiny bit between every single set, you know.
And there's a lot less pressure on you.
Yeah.
And the perk to opening is you don't have anybody hindering or in a good way or a bad way. Like if somebody comes in with a real strong set or something like that and then you come and follow, then you're like, then you have to like go up to that
level.
And
around here, everybody wants to go home.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody wants to stay out. So if you're closing, there's a good chance that
it'll be in front of a few people and they'll all be drunk.
So yeah, so we started doing this thing down here when I do comedy with Zach, because he always gets a fucking ton of people to go, I'm always like, Zach's closing.
Mm.
Because they'll stay through the whole thing.
And that's why you need a strong
to
closer.
Watch somebody. And Zach's comedy is also he's a very good comedian. Like he could honestly do something with it. He's really good. But also his comedy is like very like every person friendly. Mm. Like not to say like he doesn't cuss or anything like that. It's just his jokes are very
universal.
Like, yeah, they're universally funny jokes. And mine are not. Admittedly, they're just not.
Yeah, and this is not an easy town to do comedy in.
No, God, no.
Even back then when Wednesday Comedy's night comedy here. At Barley Hoppers was a big deal.
Was the thing.
Yeah. Even then, it was hard. And the quality of comedian was so random on that
right.
on that circuit.
Was the problem, too.
What years?
That was 2002 and 2003.
Okay.
Yeah, like August of 2002.
Because it was still around when I was 21, mm-hmm. which would have been a few years later.
We went up to the point. I think we had been going to comedy night up. It only stopped probably like 5 years ago.
Oh, I don't
stopped,
know.
But it wasn't popular.
Right. We went regularly up until I was like 25, 26, and then we kind of like then it just kind of fell off our radar.
Yeah,
and I like comedy,
and their beer is good. I know it's not as good as it was back then. There's so much stuff about that place that's just not the same.
Yeah,
and I don't know, but their brewmaster left, and they got a new one, and he doesn't make anything quite the same.
It's. I heard they're doing comedy down at Shooters, and I've heard it's doing okay.
It's not a bad spot. I don't know where I would put them.
They remodeled that bar.
How recently?
Oh, last couple years.
Okay, I've been in there since then because they made it no smoking.
Yeah,
and
they moved all the dartboards to one side of the bar.
Yeah,
all the pool tables and dartboards are all on one side of the bar. That front end is kind of like almost like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah,
a lot of TVs. So I think they put them up in that front. That front corner, like there's the kitchen, and then like around the corner is like, they put a little stage in there.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if it's the best conducive environment for it, but it seems to be working.
It's not a great building for it.
No.
I don't think there's a good place to put a comedian, but that's probably the best place they had.
Yeah.
Really, in there.
Yeah.
That used to be Club Chameleon, didn't it? Way back in the way back?
Oh, probably.
They used to call it Club Chlamydia. But that closed down shortly after I turned 21. Maybe even before. I know I'd been in there once.
It's been shooters since I've been 21.
Yeah, Club Chameleon was a short-lived.
It did not last long, and it was
maybe a year and a half.
It was like the place to be if you were 26 to 35 and really wanted to shoot for the HIV.
Like, well, that's Boomtown now again. Is it? Yeah, like it wanes. Okay. It goes in and out, but yeah.
Do they still have the mechanical bull?
Is that down on Main Street?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes and yes.
I really want to go ride that bull.
It's fun.
Yeah. I haven't ridden a mechanical bull for years.
But you can go the thing is, you can go into Boomtown at like 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. It's not a bad spot to be. It's, you go in there, have a few drinks, it's kind of quiet.
I bet it's great in the summertime.
Oh yeah, those, they got the open doors,
whole open front.
Yeah, it's great.
Barley Hoppers is like that now too. The whole back is like a great big garage door.
Yeah.
So I bet Blues and Bruises is all right.
It's not bad. Seven Devils is also a great band.
Yeah.
And they play there.
That's somebody I could ask.
Nathan Alford.
Yeah.
And I think it's Nate Alford and Nathaniel Tucker. I'm pretty sure they're both their names. The Nathans.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm pretty sure it's Nate Alford and Nathaniel Tucker are both in.
Nate and Nate.
They're a great band, though. I don't know if you've heard them. They're awesome.
Yeah, it's been a while, but
they're fun. And actually, Blues and Bruises, it is pretty good. It's a good time. It's live music around here does all right. Yeah. It's comedy is not good.
When Boomer's Garden had their little concert venue in the back for the summertime, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was mostly cover bands, but that's all right. Ted Nugent came down and played once.
Yeah.
Because the fair that he was supposed to be in Montana got rained out, and we didn't get anybody in jail that night. I was working at the jail then, and Lee called me up and was like, "Hey, I got extra ticket." I'm like, "I have to work." I think we got one dude in on a warrant, and that was it.
From what I remember, Lewiston used to be a real music scene.
Maybe.
Like in the 70s, 80s, early 80s?
I showed up in 80, so.
Yeah.
And I wasn't heard this as down well. With
that. Yeah. But I'm sure it was great. There's lots of places that were that can't be anymore because of fire codes.
Well, even
especially downtown.
Even for what, right when I graduated, there was a great one of my friends, Ray Schnedler, used to put on shows around here that of music that I would listen to. So like pop punk and like post hardcore stuff like that.
And they were trying to kind of resurge it around that
time. Yeah, it was around the time when Childers was the co-host. Mm-hmm. So his band would play there, but then they'd bring in like these pretty decent sized bands like that. There's a band that's on like top 40
from around the PNW.
We've had a few mean recently, like within the last 5 years that were decent. I mean, Candlebox was here.
Yeah.
Tracy Guns came by. And those are like significant figures.
There was this one, this band that came through, Boys Like Girls. And I remember listening to them and being like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then a couple weeks later, they're on Y105 or at the time, Good Times 105, top 40s radio though. And I was like, holy fuck, we just, this band was here. Like I met these dudes.
Yeah. Seven Mary Three's been here 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, so you don't even know. Like, you don't even know they're going to. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, this is like a.
That's a real band.
This is a thing.
They came to this little shithole.
Came to this little town. I don't know how. I think Ray, he just had a knack for finding them, like, in between stuff. Like, going from, like Spokane to Boise, you know? And he'd find him on that, like, on the way through, like, hey, come play here. And
you've got a couple day break there.
I've noticed that's Lewiston how set up. Weezer's kind of booking their, they're not going to come to Lewiston, but Weezer's kind of booking their stuff that way now because they have that, they're doing that Hell Omega tour with Green Day, but then they're doing a stop in at Northern Quest in between, in between wherever they're at, just by themselves. And where they're going to Seattle.
Well, that's because Rivers can't stop partying. That's why.
That's true.
It seems to be the stop, though. Like,
Northern Quest gets great bands.
Yeah.
And comedians.
Yeah.
That's where Brian Regan's going to be.
Yeah. I saw George Carlin at an Indian casino. The Chinook Winds down in Lincoln City. 2 nights in a row.
You going to go to awesome. Brian Regan? I went a couple years ago. I went and saw he and his brother and some other guy.
His brother's not bad.
No, his brother Dennis.
Yeah,
yeah, he's good, right? Yeah.
God, I'd love to see the Joe Rogan, Dave Chappelle. They're touring together, right?
Are they touring together?
Could you imagine?
Geez, that'd be a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not as big on Rogan, but
I like his stand-up. I think
his stand-up's all right. He's got enough energy out there. He's aging weird. It's because of all the the supplements I think he's taking.
The roids.
Yeah.
But, say it.
Yeah.
The HGH he's taking.
Yeah. But he kind of just looks like this big egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some of his jokes are funny.
Yeah.
Like the one where he says, I love my mom. I love my wife. I love my daughters. But I could kick the shit out of them. Like, they could not stand up to me physically. Because he was talking about trannies and various sports. Have you seen that? That law?
The Netflix special?
The law that just got through the House here in Idaho. They're not allowing transgender women to compete in female sports because it's not fair. I think that's a fair assessment, but I don't know that it's gonna fly. Somebody's gonna complain and it'll go to the
That episode of South Park is probably one of the funnier episodes of South Park.
Which one?
It's like a Macho Man Randy Savage type is like changes his name to Heather and he's like I'm here to, like he's just let me tell you something and he's all like
let me tell you something Cartman
and he's like he like just won like the strong woman competition he's like you yeah I'm a strong woman I think I probably like it more because it's a wrestling thing and so it's just like I'm a strong woman
a proper Randy Savage
and I also love
it like bone size
I Randy. Love Randy Savage anyways he was one of my favorite wrestlers so I just love so any joke about it
less is more brother less is more
and I remember so you remember you know the Vandal Savage or the DC character is a Vandal Savage is that what it is and one of my friends Tom accidentally called him Randy Savage.
Randall Savage.
Yeah, and well, because first he's like, yeah, you know, Randy Savage. He's like that DC, like, Nazi character. And I was like, don't you mean Vandal Savage? And then my friend Jared was like, ooh.
Let me tell you something, brother.
The smoke rains down from the chimney. Jesus.
And he's not a Nazi. He's
no.
He's immortal.
He has like a following. He gets like a following.
Always.
Depends on which one, what you read.
If I'd been alive for 100,000 years, I think I would be the same way. I would definitely have a following.
I think that's his only ability is that he is just an immortal.
He's immortal and I think he's impervious to damage.
Yeah, and I think because he's immortal, he like retains everything he's ever learned, basically. So he's like a genius too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be an immortal because I can't fucking remember anything. So I wouldn't be like...
I'd be all right with it, I think. As long as I was completely invulnerable, I'd be down.
Sure.
I'll live forever. But maybe that's part of it because most of the reason that people can't remember shit is because of, you know, degeneration of cells.
Or
you're not properly making connections.
Oh, what happened?
We're talking about Vandal Savage.
We went off on a DC tangent.
Basically, his only power is that he's just an immortal.
Oh, okay.
And
it's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just knows a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's not to be confused with Randy Savage, though.
Randall
Savage. Whose weakness is Jeeps.
That's snakes. Do you remember that?
Holy shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh my God! When that cobra bit him on the arm, and they're like, "Next week we'll show it without blurring it out," and they did, and you're like, "That snake is gnawing on his fucking arm."
That snake's pissed. I think it's defanged.
It was definitely devenomed.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was defanged or not. But it was just going to work on him.
It goes nuts.
And you're like, "Wow."
Wrestling's crazy, dude.
Did his arm bleed?
Yeah, a little bit. Huh?
Well, so for our wrestling show, we're leaning towards either Smart Mark Radio or Slobber Knocker Radio.
Oh, yeah?
Slobber Knocker's got my...
Have you guys had, like, talks?
We've chatted a little bit. I've also been talking to Dusty.
I need to download that program you were talking about. that you wanted to use to do it?
Zoom.
To call in so we can all confab.
Yeah, because I think because I could have Dusty over, and then if you zoomed in, it would be perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm already setting that up anyways for the show with Zach.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.